This morning, could you open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 128? And we're going to be looking at how to be, or what's it mean to be blessed by the Lord. And I believe that it's a basic desire by everybody. Really, I mean, everybody at some point wants to be happy, wants to be successful at what they do. Everyone wants to be content and satisfied. The men that I spend time with know, or they want to be successful in what they kind of put their hands to, the job that they do, the effort that they do. They want to be successful in that. The women that I know want their marriages and families to be successful. Jesus even promises in one of his first messages in Matthew chapter 5 that if we follow him, that you would be happy and fulfilled, which is a big promise. And even the first psalm that we see in the book of Psalms says, happy is the man who. And so I believe it's the Lord promises joy and peace to those who meditate on his word. And so the question is, how do we find happiness? Where is it? How do we discover it? And the world promises happiness in many things: possessions, popularity, position, prestige, promotions, physical relationships. And the Bible teaches that true commitment will be found in enjoying God himself, only in God. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. So God wants us to rejoice, and it is found in the passionate pursuit of loving him. Now, how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, really, truly believe that? That I will be content and happy if all that I do is completely and 100% pursue God. That's it. I don't need the car. I don't need the job. I don't need the girlfriend or the boyfriend. I don't need the popularity. I don't have to have that shirt. I don't have to drive that car. I mean, how many of us really believe that all I really need is Jesus Christ? But man, it'd be so nice if I had that thing, whatever it is. Many of us are drawn between two worlds, and we're stretched apart, and we don't feel happy. And we try to follow Jesus, while at the same time we also try to follow the world. But this morning I want to talk to you about what does it mean to be blessed. And how does it come about? God says, trust and follow me in all that you do, or not. Now, we have really the same decision to make that they needed to make in the Garden of Eden, right? Serpent comes to Eve at the tree and says, eat this fruit, you'll know knowledge of good and evil, that will make you happy. And they have this dialogue that, well, you know, God said, did God really say that? You know, and so they had this dialogue, and at the end, she believed the lie. She believed the serpent, that if you follow and do these things, then you will be happy. They forgot the God that had created them, that had given them a perfect marriage, the God that had given them a perfect, idyllic society and place to live. And they forgot those things, and they believed the lie. We, all of us, have believed the lie. We follow the wrong person sometimes. So let's look at it. James 4:4 says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If we trust and follow the world, that it will make us happy, while also trying to follow Jesus, that he will make us happy, it's like being married to someone while having an affair with someone else. You will not be happy. Let's look at it. Let's pray first before we jump into it. Jesus, this morning, there may be people here this morning that are spiritual adulteresses. They say they love you, but their hearts are far from you. They neither follow your word nor give you first place in their lives. And so, Lord, show us all this morning where we stand before you, and don't let us walk out of this room complacent, apathetic, or the same way we came in. Amen. All right, so let me ask you this before we jump into it. Are you happy to leave this room the same way that you came in? Don't raise your hand, but if you are, you're wasting your time this morning. But if you truly want to serve and really change your heart and say, Lord, I want to be more like you, I believe that this is a passage this morning that could really do that. If you really just say, Lord, I'm going to open my heart and my mind up to you and your word, I want to follow you. So let's look at it. First off is the requirements for God's blessing in verse 1. Psalm chapter 128, verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. So if you have a pen, I want you to underline everyone, not a lot of people or most people. It says everyone. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. And to be blessed, just to kind of define the terms first, to be blessed is to have divine favor. And we see in many passages that when God's people are blessed, it's talking about a long life. It's talking about things going well for them. It's talking about provision for their needs. It's joy and peace and salvation and all the things that come as a result of salvation. It's talking about God's joy and pleasure and providence placed upon your life. So first, the Lord wants to bless his people. We have to understand that. He's not trying to punish you. He's not trying to rain down fire upon you. That's not his heart. His heart's desire, and you see it all throughout the Psalms, is to bless you, to bless your life. And it's the main message of Psalms, and this blessing begins with the person who fears the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Deuteronomy 5, 28 through 29 helps us to understand this concept, but let me give you a little bit of history before we jump into it. God had called out his people out of Egypt and all of the 10 plagues and all the things that were involved there, and he led them out of slavery and dominance and evil and not understanding who they were and all these different things. He led them out of all of that. And then they were able to see God's strong and mighty hand when he defeated Pharaoh's army, when he split the Red Sea, when he called out this man called Moses and was able to do these miraculous things. And they were able to see God moving mightily. And then we see him here. And so at one point, God wants to give them the law, the Ten Commandments. And so he calls them out. He leads them to this special mountain. And he says, now it's time for me to tell you how it's going to be, right? That's kind of a Drew version of what was said. And they said, no, this is too much for us to handle. This is too much power. This is God's just too much for us. Moses, you go and you talk to God. We're going to stay back here. It's just too much for us to handle. We're scared to death. Pick up in Deuteronomy 5, 28. And the Lord heard your words. And then Moses comes back, and then he tells the Israelites what God had said. And the Lord heard your words, and you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a mind as this always. God, of course, can see all of time. And he knows that at some point, they're not going to be scared of God anymore. But he says, oh, that it would be like this always. And to fear me and to keep all of my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. The person who fears the Lord takes God seriously. They're reverent to him. They take his word very serious. They're not flip with God. They honor him greatly. Keeping God's commandments begins and comes into fruition when you fear the Lord. Why would you keep the commandments if you don't fear the Lord? Right? It all begins with this fear of the Lord. I have four children, and two of them need to fear me right now. If they don't, they're not going to do what I ask them to do, right? You have, those of you that have children or have worked with children, if they don't respect you and they don't, in essence, fear you, that if you do this, this will happen, they're not going to do what you ask them to do. We all have this wicked, sinful nature within us that we say, you know what, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that comes out at a year and a half when they say, no. It comes out later in life and later in life and later in life. And so beginning to keep God's commands begins with a fear of the Lord. Do you really fear the Lord? If I do this action that I know is not pleasing to him, do I fear the repercussions of what's going to happen? And if you don't, then you're not going to keep the commands. Now, when we begin to fear the Lord, we begin to understand him. It says, and so secondly, the person who is to be blessed by the Lord is to fear the Lord, but then also to walk in his ways. It says, so how does a person walk in his ways? What does this mean? And that rest of that Deuteronomy passage helps explain this as well. If we look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32, it says, you shall be careful, therefore. Therefore, what's the therefore? It's there because they already fear the Lord. therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way of the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may, and here's the blessing part, live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. Possession is a constant battle that we see for the Israelites. They don't just go into the land and now everything's great. Not only do they have to go into the land, they also have to defeat the enemy. They have to fight. They have to constantly be on guard. People come in. They try to take over the land. They try to pull them astray with false idols. It's a constant battle all the time. And so if we are to win this battle, to maintain possession of what God has called us to do, then we must walk in His ways, keep His commandments, all of them, and fear the Lord. To walk in the ways of the Lord is to live in daily obedience to the word and will of God. No one will truly be happy while living in disobedience to God. Only in walking in God's ways will he be truly satisfied and content. There are many out there that have tried the world, and at the end, they have been absolutely miserable. And there are many of those that have followed the Lord. They're not wealthy, they're not powerful, they're not all these different things, but they are truly blessed and content. Think of a person who continually breaks the law. We call them a convict. But think about their lifestyle. What's their life like? The person that just habitually breaks the law, just as part of their lifestyle. They live in constant fear of being caught. Right? They've committed some act. They've done something that's against the law that they know is a pretty big deal. And then they live in fear. Everybody, every time they hear the doorbell ring or somebody knocking at the door, they get a phone call. There's this, is this the time in which I'm going to be arrested? Have I been found out? Are they going to know? So they live in fear. They eventually, if they are arrested, then they lose their freedom and they go to jail, and jails and prisons are horrific place to be. There's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in there in and of itself. And then let's say they serve their time and then they get out. And then they try to get a job. Who's going to hire them? Who's going to hire a convict, a person that's been in prison? And then on and on the cycle goes. We would say, dude, just keep the law. That's the best thing. Just don't break the law to start with. And God's trying to say that to us. Why go off and try to go against God's ways in seeking pleasure and happiness and joy, when at the end, it's just going to lead in pain and despair? Why not just follow the Lord's will to start with? Do what He says to start with. God doesn't just want us to live. He doesn't just want you to be here. He doesn't just want you to breathe. He wants so much more than that for you. He wants to give you a long life. He doesn't just want to make it. He wants to bless what you put your hands to do, those efforts that you sweat about and put your heart and passion into. He wants to bless that. He wants to see that succeed. He doesn't just want you to have a family. He wants that family to be a place of peace and love and joy and a blessing to the peoples around it. He just doesn't want us just to survive. That's where we are. So there's so many of us that are at that place where, Lord, I'm just here. I'm going to do what I want. And Lord, why aren't you with me? Why aren't you blessing me? I'm going to go off and do these things that I know aren't pleasing to you. Why aren't you answering my prayer? Why are these things happening to me? The Lord wants us to bless. He wants to bless us. He wants our legacy to be a long life that is able to reflect upon and see how it has grown and blessed the name of the Lord. That's how do we get blessed? That's it. Fear the Lord and follow His commands. It's as easy or as hard as that, really. And the second part of this passage is the realms of God's blessing in verse 2. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. The God-blessed man or woman or family will eat the fruit of his labor. The people around you are going to see it. Psalm 58:11 says, mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. They're going to look at your life and say, wow, they said they're a Christian. They kind of kept to that. They really followed that. And look how the Lord is blessed. Surely there's blessings for the righteous, the reward. Heaven's favor will be upon his work. His labor will be graced by God. His endeavors will be fruitful and rewarded. But only in the extent that God chooses to bless, either in this life or in the life to come. This is where the trust and faith part comes in. If we say, Lord, I am following you. I am doing what you have called me to do. I am seeking to do these things with my children, but I'm not really seeing the blessing right now. I'm not seeing kind of what's going on here. The Lord has promised these things in His Word. It may not be in this life. It may be in the life to come. But let's keep going. How many times have we tried to do something completely in our own effort, right? And our own wisdom, apart from seeking God, following His ways, only to have those things fail or fall apart or crumble right in front of us? Or even if they do succeed from a worldly perspective, you got the promotion, you got the raise, you got the whatever it might be, and the world will say, ah, that guy is blessed. But when we go home and we sit in the recliner and we turn on the TV and we think about our lives, we are absolutely miserable, right? It's a part of following the Lord and giving Him our lives and seeking to follow Him that the joy and the peace comes in. So it's not just so much getting stuff or getting the whatever. That's what it means to be blessed. No, it's a peace in the heart of who we are is there. How many times have we tried to do that? Verse 3. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Olive trees, which are very common in the Middle East where this book was written, it takes a lot of time and care for that plant to mature and to become profitable in order to produce a crop. When the shoots, which are the very smallest part of the plant, when you take the shoot and you place it into the ground, you have to. It takes many years for that to become a olive tree that is producing olives. So the idea here is that whatever it is that you bend over and carefully place within the ground and protect and come back to regularly and water and put up protection guard around, your heart's passion, those things you pour yourself into, it will grow and grow and grow. And eventually in time, will produce a harvest. The Lord will see that, and He will move, and He will bless that ministry. So no matter what a godly man, a godly woman, a godly family nurture, the thing that they protect, water, feed, and put their effort into, the Lord is going to bless that. This action that brings God glory, He will see that it is multiplied. So here's the question. What are the things that you pour your family resources into? What are the things that you defend and carve out time for? What do you feed and cultivate in your family? What is your family together working toward? Is this activity and investment bringing glory to God? If not, then it will be like chaff. It's going to blow away and it's going to be forgotten. Do you get that? That's pretty big. Because you have to sit down and say, Lord, what is it that we're doing? Not just me, but what am I putting down roots into? What am I cultivating? What am I pouring? What am I protecting? What am I making sure nothing comes in contact with? What is that? What are we doing as a family that's really bringing glory to the Lord? You will be blessed if you answer that question in a way that brings glory to the Lord. Number four. Or verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Now, this phrase is repeated from verse 1. So whenever you see something repeated, it's important, okay? Behold, I love this word. I think of this magician, right, with a big, like, red velvet thing behind him, and it's huge, and he's got this big golden cord, and he looks at the crowd, and he goes, behold, and then he pulls the curtain, and the curtain falls back, and the crowd goes, ooh, right? This is what the psalmist is saying, behold, and then in other translation, it says, lo, look. What are the other ones? They're kind of funny, I thought. Lo, look, this is how, thus. It all has to do with the idea of stopping what you're doing. Stop what you're doing and behold, right? Because this is a big deal. Stop what your family's doing. Stop what you are actively involved in. Stop whatever it is and behold what God has just told you, right? Don't walk out of this room and say, well, that was great. Let's go do whatever it is what we were doing before and just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Because when it's all said and done, you can't start over when the kids are 20. You can't change your marriage at the 40-year mark, right? Behold, fear the Lord, do what His Word says. Behold, the Lord will bless that. That's not really a complicated message, is it? Think about this. Behold this. Grab on to this. In the summer of my junior year in college, I felt that the Lord wanted me to do summer missions. And so I went to Ocean City, Maryland, and I met Kimberly there, actually, and later on we got married. But the Lord led me there to get married. You heard me say that, right? But I want to bring out this couple that were there that we met. Their name is Lynn and Terry Davis. Over 20 years ago, the Lord moved on this couple's heart to go from seminary to Ocean City, Maryland, and they started a church from scratch, just nothing. They just started from scratch. The wife, Lynn, is a full-time missionary with the convention that we're part of, Maryland Delaware Baptist Convention. She's a full-time missionary, and what she does is she started many campground ministries. She started lifeguard ministries. She started fisherman ministries. She started all of these like ministries, and she's brought in literally thousands of missionaries, young people from all across the nation, mission trips, and all kinds of people come in, and hundreds of us summer missionaries that would come in over the years. They've built buildings. The church has moved to a larger location. They've built a building. They've started a Christian school. And in the meantime, they had three children, and those three children all are in ministry of some kind. Their daughter, Tanya, has married a church, and they both are church planters in Delaware. And guess what she's doing? She's starting lifeguard ministries, and she's doing all these, the campground ministries, and she's doing all of these things. Now, why do you bring them up? Well, one, they had a huge impact on my life because it was there that God called me to ministry. It was within that context. But this husband and wife, completely sold out to the Lord, who fear the Lord and follow His ways, have been, after a 20-year mark, been able to look back over their ministries and see it grow and grow, and how the Lord has blessed it, and they have children that are doing ministry that's even multiplied more, and it's just the multiplication effect of their obedience and service to the Lord is huge. That's what I believe that the Lord wants us, when we're old, to be able to look back upon and say, Lord, I have sought to follow Your ways, and You have blessed what I have put my hand to do, and it has grown and multiplied. It's gone from a shoot to a full olive tree that is producing like nuts. Just crazy. This psalm is a picture of a person putting down shoots of a plant, bending down, putting their hands in the soil, tenderly and carefully planting the shoot, which is hard, back-breaking work. It requires that the plants be protected and cultivated and pruned, and a lot of sweat goes into it. And hours of time is invested in this effort, and there's going to be times when the olive tree farmer has to wait. You got to hear this, okay? Here's what this olive tree guy is doing. He's taking a shoot, and he's planting, and he's watering. And a lot of what farmers do is waiting. They have to stop because you can't hurry the process. You can't make the tree become an olive thing overnight. You have to wait. And he's cultivating, and he's watching, and he's protecting. And there's going to be times which the storms come, and the hail comes, and it knocks all the olives off the tree. And there's going to be times when that branch gets broken. And there's going to be times when the plant is, the drought comes, and it looks like it's just not going to happen. That plant is just gone. Wait. The farmer has to wait. Because God doesn't see the season, He sees the entire lifespan. And so He's promised that if you put your hands to it, that if you keep going, if you cultivate it and water it and keep it going, that what you put your hand to will eventually produce a crop. Let me give you a couple of verses. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Psalm 31, be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who wait for the Lord. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Look, all these guys are getting ahead of me in the ball game. Look at all these guys. They're moving up the corporate ladder. Look at all these other people. They seem to be doing so successful. Wait. Psalm 37. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. Wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord, not the plant. If you don't get anything else that I say this morning, here's what I want you to get. You need to wait on the Lord and not the plant. The plant is what you pour your heart and your things into, but that's not ultimately what has given you this promise. It's the Lord that has given you this promise. You must wait on the Lord. Also, we see that there's the request for God's blessing. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, and may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. It says from Zion, which is an idea of heaven, and it's the place where divine glory most resides. It's the center of which all of our blessings flow, Psalm 22. Everything comes from the heavens above. It's the Lord who blesses us. It is from the place where God dwells, these true blessings come, and it's this idea that if we trust in him, he hears us, he knows what we're going through, he knows all of these things. But here's another question, is who is this psalmist talking to, right? Who is he talking to when he says, the Lord bless you from Zion? Who's the you that he's talking about? I believe that David was writing to those whose hearts desire and fear the Lord, who desire to walk in his ways. To those people, David praised the Lord and asked for God to bless them. It's a blessing psalm. It's our last psalm of our series. It's the thing I want to leave you with before we move on to some other book in the Bible. So the Psalms, the Lord promises that his heart's desire is to bless you. And if you want to have a blessed life, you have to fear him. You have to walk in his ways. This morning, you have some choices to make. As did Adam and Eve. Do you trust God or do we trust the serpent and his lies? And he is, by the way, very crafty. I don't have time to go into that. Do you wait on the Lord or do you trust him? Whether you're just planting shoots, whether you've seen your plants grow through storms, or you're enjoying the fruit of your labor, we all must trust the Lord. When you do, peace will come. We begin our trust with our salvation. That's where this sense of peace and joy and true happiness, all these things begin. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Satan and his lies will bring you death and misery. The Lord and his salvation will bring you joy and peace. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for the person here this morning that doesn't know you, that feels separated from you. The Lord, they may have at some point even claimed to be a Christian, but they know deep within their heart that they're not following you. Their life is not producing anything for you, and they just feel absolutely miserable. But Lord, you have promised, and so Lord, I pray that you'll give them faith and trust this morning in a way they've never had before, in your Son and in your Bible. And Lord, I pray that if they would just give you their heart, you have promised that they would be blessed, not in a worldly way, but in a true, genuine, meaningful way. But Lord, we have to deal with sin first. And so Lord, you came to this earth and you died on the cross in order for us to be rid of sin for all of eternity. You took the penalty for us. And so Lord, if there's a person here this morning that doesn't know you, that hasn't given you their heart, they could say a prayer something like this to you. They could just talk to you to themselves. Dear Jesus, I admit to you that I have done things in my life that I know are not pleasing to you, that go against your ways. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive me for those things. And I know that the only way for me to be forgiven and to have a relationship with you and to go to heaven is through Jesus. So I want Jesus to be my Savior right now. I want him to to forgive me of my sin. I want to be a Christian. Lord, I pray for those people within this room that may have made that decision here for the first time. Lord, I also believe that there's some people in this room that are trying to play church, and they're trying to pretend to be a certain way when they know that as soon as they leave this building, they're going to go off and do things that are not pleasing to you. Lord, that's a very grave and dangerous place to be. So, Lord, I pray for that person. I pray that even now in this moment, they may repent and turn from their sin and may be drawn back to you. For you've promised that you will forgive their sin and cleanse them of all unrighteousness, that it's only through Jesus that we could start over. Lord, I pray you'll give them the courage to do that. Lord, I pray for our church that we'll be a church that brings glory and honor to you. I pray this in your name. Amen.